Radio. Well, good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We are a private security and law enforcement organization. I'm your host for this evening, founder and CEO Rick McCann. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday evening, September the 22nd, 2010. Now, today is the official first day of fall, the beginning of the solace, the cooler weather, the cooler nights, the times when you can throw open the window and enjoy the cool breezes, unless, of course, you're in the South. Today was a balmy 92 degrees, humid, and felt more like it was the middle of August than the middle of September, but at any rate, we hope that wherever you are, the weather is sunny and warm and bright for you. Tonight, we are on location live on the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina at Memorial Lakeside Park, broadcasting live tonight. Normally, we have access to all of the emails and fancy doodads of our studio, but tonight, because of our remote location, we'll not be able to take any emails or be able to answer them while we're on the show or other electronic gizmos. We will be doing the show bare bone tonight as we are here for very serious business. Although we've enjoyed our day here in the Carolinas, as we always do, beautiful states, South Carolina and North Carolina, if you've ever been, visited, traveled through, or worked in, you know that the states are beautiful from the coastline to the mountains. But tonight, we are in the middle of the second annual Private Officer Memorial Week. And so tonight, we're here as another live event, a ceremony for the private officers of the Carolinas, men and women who have lost their lives in the service of others. We'll also be talking tonight, later on in the show, about the five deadly errors. The five deadly errors that officers often and all too frequently make that unfortunately lead to their demise. Many hundreds and probably thousands are injured in the line of duty unnecessarily, and still others are killed because of these five deadly errors. And tonight, we're talking officer safety. Over the last few months, we've been talking about situational training, about examining the threat, about making the decision, making the call when seconds count. And tonight, this is another aspect. All of these tie in together as we talk about officer safety, how to be better prepared, how to be better alert, how to understand the job and focus on all of the things that we must focus on to make sure that at the end of our shift, we are going home. Wherever you're listening to us tonight, here in the U.S. or around the world, we appreciate your listenership. Recent months, our listenership has spiked. Each month, each radio show, our listenership continues to increase. We continue to get emails addressed to us from all across the country and many countries thanking us for the program, thanking us for the training, making many new associates and friends along the way. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate the emails. Now, I did mention earlier that we will not be responding to the emails and we will not be participating in the chat room tonight as we normally would. However, that does not prohibit you from sending an email right now to radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Let us know that you're listening live. Let us know that you are hearing us wherever you might be. You can also address any questions that you might have. If you have a question about the association, about the chapters, about training, I'll be happy to answer those for you. You can also jump in the chat room and participate there online right now, even as we conduct this live program. We have a lot of different items to address tonight, as we normally do. I want to jump over, I briefly touched on this a minute ago, but I want to jump over now to the question of chapters, and then we're going to head quickly into the news, and then from there, who knows. But I want to briefly update you on the chapters. We do have a number of chapters that have opened, and I want to really thank, salute, and just praise the people who have stepped forward and opened the chapters and taken it upon themselves to do what was necessary to get this moving forward. David Hukalani, who is our state chapter leader, manager, and director in Hawaii, has several chapters up and running, promoting Private Officer International throughout the islands of Hawaii, and also conducting training, recruiting, and our hats are off to you, David. We really appreciate all that you're doing. Want to recognize tonight also Brian Kendricks. Brian is up in the Boston area without so much as one email of being told what to do. He immediately began to take the steps to get his chapter up and running and recruiting people. We have a number of folks who are actively involved. We appreciate John Walson over in the North Kentucky, Cincinnati area, and many others out in the Pacific Northwest area. We really appreciate all of the efforts and all of the attitude, the great attitude that everyone is showing. Now, having said that, our chapters are not opening as quickly as I thought that they would, but that's because there's so much involved. There's a lot involved in this, and there are some questions that some folks have, and we want to answer that, address that tonight. We will be having a conference call on Friday at 8 p.m., and we will send out an email blast in the next 24 hours to let everyone know time, place, and phone number to call for that conference call. But we have a lot of people who are worried and confused about the chapters. They want to be involved. They want to be a chapter manager, but they're concerned about the expenses, concerned about the time. And let me just put your mind at ease. First of all, there is no requirements for office space. You do not need to have an office. You do not need to rent a building. You do not need to take any money out of your pocket whatsoever. Our chapters are much like many other organizations. We will show you and assist you in locating a place to meet. And we will be talking about that on the conference call. We will also reimburse you for any approved expenditures that you might have until the chapter is up and running and financially able to provide for itself. As far as the time, many people have written in saying that they do not have an excessive amount of time to give toward this chapter. They would love to, but they just don't have the time. They already work 60 hours a week or two jobs or whatever the case might be. But the fact is that it is not very time consuming. The fact is that the chapter itself requires less than 3 hours per month, not per day, not per week, but per month. The bulk of that time will be spent in your once a month, monthly meeting and training at a time, date, and place that you can specify. It does not have to be the same day every month. It could change. It does not have to be the same time every month. That can also be flexible according to your needs and schedule. And we'll be talking more about that on the conference call Friday night. So there's really a lot of questions out there. I thought that they had been answered and addressed, but evidently not. But I want to put your minds at ease. This is not a complicated thing. If you've ever been involved with ASIS or the Lions Club or the Speakers Club or many other organizations that meet in hotels, the public library, restaurants, and so forth, this is situated and similar to those organizations. They will be operating, the meetings will be operated under the Robert Rules of Order, and we'll be talking much more about that on Friday night at the conference call. But I'm sitting back now in a comfortable, easy chair, if ever there was one here, a folding chair, here by the lake. Beautiful weather out here. It's still about 86, 87 degrees. It's not as humid as it was earlier today, but it's just a beautiful night. The sun is going down now, setting in the western sky. And you can probably hear the chirping in the background, and some people are out here at the park that are not part of our broadcast here. But we do have some people with us. Thanks, Ken, for coming out. We do have some people with us tonight, but there are others here enjoying the lovely evening here in the Appalachia foothills of North Carolina at the Lakeside Park. But I hope that that has answered some of your questions that you may have tonight about the chapters. Please don't lose focus on the purpose. Please don't, overexcite yourself and get carried away without knowing all the details, because it's not as difficult or time-consuming, and it's definitely not costly, as some folks have made it out to be. So we'll explain much more in greater detail coming up on Friday, and we will send out that information to you, if not today, definitely by early tomorrow. So if you have any other questions, feel free to email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we'll get right back with you and be glad to answer those concerns. I do want to remind you as well that anytime, day or night, 24/7, 365 days a year, you can follow us. That's right, you can follow us. We don't mind. You can stalk us if you want to. You can be a peeping Tom. You can look over our shoulders, follow us, as long as it's on the web. You can follow us anytime, day or night, 24/7 on the web. We are all over the internet, and we invite you to go to our new website, our home page, www.privateofficer.com, is updated, and the content is updated frequently. We'll be adding some new videos there of the memorial service and some other things coming up in the next few days. We'll also be adding some new training information to the website and other things. So please visit the website frequently, www.privateofficer.com. We also want to invite you to join us on our own forums, the privateofficer.ning.com. Now, you don't have to type all of that into the address bar. You can actually go to our main website on the homepage and just click on forums, and it will take you there. You know, it'll carry you on over to our forums. Just go to www.privateofficer.com and click on forums. Same thing for our radio program. Just go to our main website, our homepage, and click on radio, and it will take you to our radio program. And, of course, we do store our radio programs. Every radio program is stored into eternity, just about, as far as I've been told. It's there until we delete it. So day or night, it doesn't matter what hour of the day or night that it is, if you decide that you want to listen to one of our radio broadcasts, you can do it. Because it's always there. So you don't have to always listen to us live. If it's an inconvenient time or if you're working or you're driving, we certainly understand that. And you can just go ahead and click on to the radio program anytime it's convenient for you, or if you're at work or you have a moment to relax, we invite you to click on the radio link and listen to our newest show. We have a lot of informative information, a lot of news, and definitely a lot of training, which is really something that is very unique with our organization, with our association, because we put it out there for you free. We don't charge you an arm and a leg just to listen to our program. We don't charge you an arm and a leg just to take our training. We offer a lot of free training out there to you. And we provide a lot of services that are free. Also, on the web, you can click over to Facebook, and you can find us at Facebook.com/privateofficer.com. And be a fan, be a friend. We try to update our page as frequently as possible, and we hope to get a little bit more involved with that particular site there in the upcoming weeks. You can also follow us at Twitter. If you are a tweeter and you like to tweet, you can join us at Twitter/Private Officer. Twitter/Private Officer. As we've mentioned before, the great thing about that particular site, we've also linked in to our blog, to our news blog. So every time that there's an update on the news, well, guess what? It goes directly, it feeds directly into Twitter, and you'll get an automatic tweet with what's going on. So that's pretty cool. So that's Twitter/Private Officer, Twitter@Private Officer. You can also join our, check us out on the web and look at our, read our news blog at WordPress.com, privateofficernews@wordpress.com, or the easier way to do it, and I mean it's just really easy. Everything now is right off our homepage on our main site. Go to privateofficer.com and click on Breaking News right there at the top. Breaking News. It's going to take you right on over to our news blog, and that gets updated several times a day. And if you want the latest news story involving security, involving law enforcement, then you're going to want to read our news blog on a daily basis. In fact, you can subscribe to it, and it'll automatically send you all the updated news as it gets blogged out. So check it out. Click on our homepage and go right to the Breaking News link anytime, day or night. We're all over the internet, all over the web and growing. Our footprint continues to grow as we continue to expand. We have welcomed in I want to mention this as well. We have welcomed in a number of countries, a number of security organizations from other locations because of our news blog, because of our social network, because of our forums. And we just signed up a new organization, a new group, which will be opening up a new chapter for us in South Africa. And we're really excited about that. We've had a number of contacts recently from India, from the Arab countries. We have members in Canada, France, Australia, and a number of other places. And it's just very exciting. Very exciting to see all of these now who are contacting us and joining. We hope that you are a member of the Private Officer International Association. We hope that you have already become a part of this exciting organization, rapidly growing organization. But if you have not, already become a member, then right now is a great time, because right now you can take part in a special that's going on for just $49.95. You can get a 2-year membership and save 35% off the regular price. That's right, 35% off the regular price. Normally, the price is $35 a year, but for a limited time, if you join right now, you can get 2 years for just $49.95. We'll also extend that to anyone who wants to renew their membership. If your membership is about to end or if it has already expired and you want to renew, feel free to sign up on our membership page at privateofficer.com and take advantage of the 2-year subscription, 2-year membership for just $49.95. You can't beat that, 35% off the regular price. We've already actually had reduced it from the original price several years ago when the economy began to fall apart, and we haven't increased the price since then. So take advantage of this low, low price now. You know, if you're going to become a member, you might as well spend an extra $15 and get a second year for more than half off. That's a deal. That is a deal. Just go to privateofficer.com, click on the Security Association link at the top of the page, and sign up today. Like I said, I don't know how long that's going to be available. I don't know how long that's going to last. So take advantage of it now while you can. I also want to mention that we have a number of great items for you. You can get a Private Officer logo shirt. You can get some excellent training CDs. You can get a number of different product items from our website, www.privateofficer.com. We definitely don't try to push it. We're not here to sell merchandise, but we make it available for those who are interested. We have a lot of news to tell you about tonight, and we want to get to the news so that we can quickly address the other reasons why we're here. But if you have anything that you would like to ask, if you have any comments about anything, about the organization, about membership, about training, if you want to send us a comment about the Memorial Week, we'd love to hear from you. You can go ahead and send it to me at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and I will be sure to read that.
just as quickly as I can, and I answer my emails as well, unlike some people, and I will give it to you. I will respond back to you. It may not be as quickly as normal because we are on a remote broadcast tonight. However, we will get it to you quite rapidly. In the news tonight, out of Biloxi, Mississippi, police there say that they've arrested a man after casino security at the Hard Rock Cafe and casino apprehended a 40-year-old man identified as Daryl Dwayne Breyers of Alabama after he stole a cash voucher over the weekend worth $1,400. Security said that they noticed the man after security officers from the Grand Isle Casino notified them that he was wanted for theft there at that casino as well. They detained him and took him into custody until the police arrived. Also tonight in the news, you may have heard about this, in Sandy Springs, which is part of the Atlanta Metro, police have charged an 11-year-old babysitter with felony murder and child cruelty in the death of a 2-year-old girl. Police there identified Zayda White as a 2-year-old who died of blunt force trauma. According to police, the 11-year-old beat the child, and it caused the death of the child. Police are not, of course, releasing their name. In the state of Georgia, the maximum sentence allowed for anyone under the age of 13 charged with murder, it's just 2 years, 2 years in a juvenile facility. In Chester, South Carolina, a shooting at a local nightclub spilled over to the local hospital where one of the gunshot victims went for treatment. Security said they heard multiple gunshots and went to investigate. According to police, one of the suspects in the nightclub shooting followed the wounded person, victim, over to the hospital, and then continued shooting at the person. One person was killed. Police have arrested a suspect in that. In Las Vegas, Nevada, earlier this week, police say that a shooting at an apartment complex killed one man and wounded security. Vegas Metro Police responded to the Wynn Palms apartments, where they say that a gunfight erupted, and when security went to assist the injured man, he too was shot. Police say that he is still hospitalized, but is expected to recover from his wounds. In Memphis, Tennessee, investigators there want to know if the taxpayers' money is being wasted by the Memphis City School System. According to an investigation by the Action News 5 team, they found that school security was chauffeuring and escorting school administrators around while on duty in a marked school security patrol vehicle. According to the investigators from Action News, they have video recorded a number of times when this has occurred at great expense to the city taxpayers. Now an investigation is underway. In Malcolm, Alabama, which is in the southern part of Alabama, state troopers there say that a 64-year-old postal worker was killed after his truck was struck by a freight train in southern Washington County. The postal worker has been identified as Nathan Williams III. They say he was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from his vehicle after being hit by the train. Hillsborough County, Florida, which is Tampa, a Hillsborough County deputy sheriff was killed after his patrol vehicle was hit by a semi-tractor trailer. Deputy Mark A. Longway, 48 years old, was killed yesterday. Police are not sure exactly the cause of the wreck. They say that one of the vehicles, they're not sure which one, ran a red light. They are investigating. Deputy Longway was married. He was a father of two, and he had been on the force for a number of years. Also coming out of the news tonight in Tulare County, California, police there say that a security officer has shot and killed his attacker. According to police, the security officer was investigating a disturbance when he was attacked, and police there are still investigating. In Fresno, California, a security officer there was also attacked at a strip mall. According to law enforcement, the incident began when the security officer went to investigate several people at a vehicle. One of the suspects pulled a gun and began shooting at the security officer, who returned fire, and one person was killed. The security officer was not injured. Atlantic City, New Jersey, police there say that three people were arrested during a school burglary, including a school security officer. According to police, the security officer, identified as Kevin Roberts, 18, has been charged with burglary and theft. In Las Vegas, Nevada, Hard Rock Security nabbed a popular singer who has charted music on the charts before. Police say that Bruno Mars, as his show name is known, was arrested after casino security caught him in the restroom using cocaine. He has been charged with felony possession and turned over to the Clark County Detention Center. A Wagon Hut security firearms instructor was hit by a bullet while training at the Oak Ridge nuclear facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. According to authorities, the firearm instructor was training on a automatic machine gun when a bullet misfired, striking the instructor. Jacksonville, Florida, a rookie Wagon Hut security officer who'd been on the job for less than 6 months was put in charge of guarding a prisoner who was taken to the hospital for medical treatment. According to the sheriff's department there, the prisoner was able to take the security officer's weapon and take him hostage. Another security officer, identified as John Scarborough, 62, was able to come to the rescue of the officer being held and was able to take the suspect into custody. In Costa Mesa, California, a former security guard at the Trinity Broadcasting Network has been arrested for burglary. Robert Shorter, who was a security officer for some time at the facility, is accused of breaking in on more than one occasion and stealing multiple items. As always, there is a lot of news to bring you tonight, but we are going to end the news segment there and move on to our other main topics of the night. We're glad that you are listening to us wherever you might be, and we hope that the radio transmission tonight is of decent quality so that you're able to hear the program. Want to mention also tonight, as I alluded to earlier, we have a lot going on here at Private Officer International. We've announced a number of weeks ago about a brand new radio program, the LP phone. We are looking for a co-host, who was scheduled to be on the program because of a new promotion is not going to be able to do that. So if you are a loss prevention supervisor, trainer, manager, you've got experience as a mall security officer, we'd love to talk to you. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. Now, I do apologize because over the last few weeks, we have missed many birthdays, and we have not been able to attend to the email bag. We will bring those segments back to the radio program next Sunday on our regularly scheduled program at 7:30 Eastern Time. That'll be next Sunday. And we apologize for not being able to recognize all of the people having birthdays, but we will get to you in the upcoming programs. If you're interested in being on the shooting teams, the honor guard, or anything else happening here at Private Officer, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. And I also want to mention, while I'm thinking about it, it's not too late. It's not too late to be a published author. That's right. You can become an instant published author. How, you may ask? Well, it's very easy. You can write 200-plus words of a situation or incident that you've been involved in your security career. It could be something funny, something kind of stupid. It could be something heroic. It could be mundane, just a routine. And we will include it in a brand new book that is coming out called Security in Motion. Security in Motion is a compilation of security officer stories in the first person, written by you. We're putting this book together to highlight all of the various duties that a private security officer does, all of the various heroic and brave things that they go through, all of the situations that they may respond to, and give the public a little bit more insight as to the true duties and true occurrences of a private security officer in the 2010 era, much different than it was 20, 30 years ago. Now, we will be publishing the book, and the proceeds will be going to the Benevolent Fund at Private Officer International, which will assist private officers injured in the line of duty or killed in the line of duty. And those funds will be administered through our chapters. You'll be involved in going out and seeing the Benevolent Fund at work if you are involved with the chapter. So it's not too late to get involved in our book project. Anything that you write, anything that you submit, will be edited by professional editors, and then it will be included in the book, and you will become a published author, even if you already had. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. If you're interested in submitting a story for the book, it must be 200-plus words. Don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about, how it looks, whether it's in the right order or the right paragraph, because it will be professionally edited and placed into the book. I think that's pretty cool. And we hope to get that book published by the first of the year. We had originally thought that it would be out or be published by the fall, but as we found out with our chapters, things sometimes don't happen quite as you think they will. Well, now the weather is really cooling down. It's down now into the low 80s, probably somewhere around 82 or so, and crickets are doing what crickets do. Beautiful evening. Beautiful evening here at the Appalachian foothills here in North Carolina. As we said earlier, in the intro of the program, this week, September 19th through September 25th, 2010,
is our second annual Private Officer Memorial Week. Beginning last year, in the third week of September, we began to honor all of those private security officers, men and women, who have been killed in the line of duty. So far, since we've been tracking the security officer deaths for the last 6 years, there have been more than 400 private security officers killed in the line of duty. 400. And those, my friends, are only the numbers that we have actually been able to track. Those are only the men and women who have been killed in the line of duty that we've actually been able to verify. We know that the numbers are more. We know that we are not getting everyone because of poor reporting by the government, because of poor classification, because of poor media news, and because oftentimes press releases are not sent out on that kind of thing. The numbers, realistically, are probably more in the 600 range. However, we have verified more than 400 in the last 6 years. For the year 2010, we've tracked more than 45 officer deaths. Right now, we're on track to be someplace in the area of between 65 and 70 verified deaths. In true reality, those numbers will be more like 90 or 100. Deaths of private security officers are not going down, they are actually going up. Injuries to private security officers are not going down, they are steadily increasing. Just recently, we were notified by a pretty large private security contract agency to stop reporting the injuries, to stop reporting the deaths. This regional security company told me flat out that it was scaring their people. That's right, it was scaring security officers. We've been told this before. Don't report it. Don't tell it. Don't send out the news alerts. Because instead of properly training their staff, instead of properly informing their staff of the risk involved in the job, they would rather hide it. They would rather not talk about it. They would rather ignore it. And when it happens, when someone gets hurt or killed in the line of duty, you know what they say? It was just a rare situation. It was just one of those things that never happens. I'm here to tell you tonight that we're not going to ignore. We're not going to stop reporting. We're not going to hide the facts. Because of a recent email news blast we sent out about a month ago, we've lost more than 300 subscribers to our news alerts because we're reporting the facts, because we're telling you the truth. And so tonight, we'll be talking about 5 deadly errors. Information that your employer doesn't want you to know, doesn't care if you know. Here in North Carolina, in the 6 years that we've been tracking information, there has fortunately only been a handful of deaths, 5 security officers killed in the last 6 years. But 2 of them were extremely violent. In December 16th, 2008, during the height of the Christmas rush shopping season, Juan Esteban Silveiro, 25, was gunned down, shot and killed in the middle of the day, broad daylight, at the entrance to the Old Navy store in Greensboro, North Carolina, as he made his regular round to the Old Navy, picking up the deposits. It was not a pretty sight. I've seen the photos from the crime scene when it occurred. I was in North Carolina that day when it occurred. It was not something that you want your kids to see. It was not something you want to write home about. But it was a tragic event. I don't think, in fact, I almost know the officer never got up that day thinking he'd be killed in the line of duty that day. But I'm sure in the back of his mind, it had been there all along while working for the Armored Car Service. Police have arrested suspects. People are in jail because of it. But that's of no consolation to his family, to his children, to his mother, to his other relatives, to his coworkers, to his friends. Tonight, remember the family of Juan Esteban Salado, 25. He was only 25 years of age, just trying to make a living, just doing his job, something that was a job that he was underpaid for, a job that few people want because of the risk, the dangers. We've talked to people, we've talked to his employer, we've talked to people who said he was a great guy. He was always happy, friendly, willing to help you. But tonight, he's another officer, another private officer, who was killed in the line of duty. This year, in South Carolina, John D. Adams was killed, 29 years old, during a confrontation with an armed person at a nightclub. During the disturbance, the man came back with a gun, opened fire, killing Adams and the young woman that was involved in the confrontation. In January of this year, John Glover, he was 61 years old, in Minot Corners, South Carolina. He was a private police officer with the South Carolina Public Service Commission. He was struggling with an intoxicated man who was trespassing on the property. He was able to get some handcuffs on the man, but he suffered a massive heart attack making that arrest, killed in the line of duty. There's no doubt in my mind, and there should be no doubt in your mind, that when you are serving the public
in such a capacity, that there are risks, that there are likelihoods, better than average, you're going to be involved in a confrontation. You're going to be involved in situations where your life could be taken. It's because of people like this who knew and did the job anyways that we are holding this second annual Private Officer Memorial Week. If you haven't already, go ahead and click on the link at the top of the Private Officer homepage and listen to the beautiful ceremony that we had in Columbia, South Carolina. We asked this week that you would wear a black band around your badge, that you would hold a ceremony of some type with your coworkers. We had several responses this week from our members and associates that told us that their employers would not allow it. They would not sponsor it, and they would not allow a ceremony on the property. Why? What are they afraid of? Why don't they want their security officer to know that this can happen to you regardless of your post, regardless of your assignment? Just yesterday, a security manager at a hospital in the Midwest emailed me upset because the hospital CEO, all the way up to the top, sent him an email telling him if he holds any type of recognition ceremony, a private officer ceremony, even during his weekly management meeting with the security staff, he would be reprimanded. They're afraid of the truth, afraid to let the information be known that the security industry, the security field, is dangerous. But tonight I'm here to tell you, mark my words, hold me to it, we won't stop telling them. We won't stop telling the public. We won't stop holding the ceremonies. We won't stop having these recognition weeks because we know the dangers. We know the sacrifices that officers have given. The Bible says, no greater love hath any man than to lay down his own life for a friend. As I said on Sunday during the Columbia, South Carolina ceremony, most of the people that the private security officers were protecting, they did not know. They were not friends with. But they followed the scripture to a fault. And they were willing to put their life in harm's way to protect others. Not for the money, because as you know, there is no money in this industry. Not for the hourly people. They did it because they were following their heart. They did it because they were standing up to their commitment that they had made to their employer and their client. I mentioned also Sunday that just this month, in Cummings, Georgia, at an Ingles grocery store, David Casto, a young private security officer with so much to live for, by all accounts, a professional, well-liked security officer, someone who you could count on when there were problems, when there was trouble. He lost his life while guarding the Ingles grocery store as five robbers came in and were able to overtake him and get his weapon away from him and shoot him in the head and throw his body into a freezer while they rob and terrorize employees and customers of the store. Oh, the police do have those people in custody. They are in jail waiting trial. But that's of little comfort to his mother, to his friends, to his coworkers, to his family. That police say they have a solid case. They're sure to get a conviction. All of these, this gang, all of the members will be in prison for life. They could face the death penalty in the state of Georgia. But I'm telling you tonight, that is of little comfort, little consolation to his family. Each year, in the third week of September, we will continue to hold the ceremonies. We will continue to recognize the men and women who gave their life to protect and serve, to protect life and property, not as a police officer, but as a public safety officer, as someone who had been hired to do a job, and they did it. This week, if your employer will not allow you to have a ceremony, if you don't have access to have a group together, go out to a public park, sit down with a couple of your coworkers, or outside in the parking lot, and spend just a moment remembering these men and women who have died protecting life and property. Listen to the ceremony that's been recorded, and it's on the private officer main page. Have your coworkers come in and listen to it. Spend just a moment remembering and honoring the men and women who gave their life. Remember September 19th through the 25th this year, Private Officer Memorial Week. Now, we will be having several other live ceremonies around the country. There are a number of them going on right now. We hope to have some video up on the website soon. But you don't have to have a big organized event. It can be just you and a few other of your coworkers, or it could be just you. Take just a moment to recognize. We want to move into our training segment tonight as we talk about something that really goes hand in hand with the Private Officer Memorial Week. We want to talk for a few moments about officer safety. We want to talk about the five deadly errors that private security personnel make. We're not here to put people down. We're not here to criticize. We're not here to shake a finger. We're not here to say they've done a bad job. We're not here to say that they died because of their fault. We're not here to say any of that. But we want you to understand that sometimes we are our worst enemy. Sometimes it's because of something that we did or didn't do that has caused us to be injured or killed in the line of duty. One of my favorite sayings is that mistakes are made and lessons
are learned. Every time that you make a mistake, you have a bad decision. You make a bad choice. It's an opportunity. It's a chance for you to learn something new from that mistake, from that error, from that bad decision, whatever it might be. And whenever we look at the news, whenever we look at security officers injured, whenever we read death reports where security officers have been killed in the line of duty, we look at those from the perspective of training. We've had a number of training facilities. Just recently, a training facility in Illinois emailed us and thanked us for procuring all of the security news from around the country. They use that news that we generate in our news blog and our news alerts. They use it in their training. We've had a number of facilities contact us over the months and years and thanked us because they do the same thing. They use the news in their training classes. We've even had a law enforcement academy who contacted us a while back and said the same thing. They use those examples to teach what could have been done better. What might you have done if you'd been in that situation? It's a form of situational training. And so when we look at the news of injured officers, of officers killed, we look at it from the perspective of learning from it, absorbing the information so that we can use it in a training aspect, so we can use it to better ourselves and those that we instruct. So we're not here to criticize. We're not here to tell people they did a lousy job. It's because of what they did that they're dead, that they've been injured. That's not the situation at all. But there are five errors that private security personnel make time and time and time again that lead to their unfortunate demise. We're going to get into several of them tonight, and we will pick up part two on Sunday night when we're back live in the studio. But number one, and it's, you might really be surprised. You might be in awe. You might be like, what? But the number one reason that we have found why security officers are injured or even killed in the line of duty, the number one reason. No, it's not because they were sleeping on the job. No, it's not because of a lack of training, although that is one of the five. But the number one reason, the number one reason that we have found is that they devalue their job. They devalue their job. What does that mean? What am I talking about? They devalue their job. How many times have you said, how many times have you heard other security personnel say, I'm just a guard. Yeah, my job doesn't mean nothing at all. Yeah, I'm just here because they're trying to reduce their insurance rate. I'm just here as a fire watch. Yeah, they just got me over here looking pretty today. You know, my job's not important. I'm just here like the maintenance man filling the slot. I'm just here because of this. I'm just here because of that. Oh, I'm not really important at all. My job doesn't really count much, if anything. How many times have you heard that said by other officers? How many times have you said it? How many times have you thought it? I have said it in years past. I have thought it many times. We've had people tell it to us dozens of times. Ah, you ain't nobody. Ah, you ain't got no authority.
Ah, you're just here because this and that, the other thing. So private officers oftentimes believe that. They oftentimes take it to the bank. They don't value the importance of their job. They don't value the importance of their position. They don't understand how important they really, really are. Think of this. Regardless of your post, regardless of where you're assigned, you are in direct control, oftentimes, of millions and millions of dollars worth of assets. If you are on the post at a distribution center, a warehouse, they might have $2 billion worth of merchandise in that warehouse today. You're in charge of it. Everything that happens there, good or bad, you're responsible for. You alone have control of that property once you come on duty and you begin to represent the client. Especially when there are no management personnel on scene, on property. You're in charge. If you don't do your job, that company could lose millions or billions of dollars if the place was to go up in flames. They could lose hundreds and thousands of dollars if you let just any Tom, Dick, and Harry walk in and take whatever they want and take off. Somebody's life depends upon you doing your job, your duty, day in and day out. Without you doing your job, somebody could get hurt. If you don't report that the lights are out in the stairwell, if you don't report that there's a spill on the floor of gasoline, of oil, if you don't report that there's other issues, safety violations, somebody could get seriously hurt, could even die on the property. If it wasn't for you responding to assist somebody who's maybe in the middle of a domestic fight, someone could be injured. Your job is important. You are important. Don't ever underestimate, don't ever devalue your position. You might not be the CEO of the company. You might not be the manager. You might not be the director. But you have a very, very important position. You may not get paid the amount that you should, but the job is extremely vital. Because private officers don't recognize, or they do sometimes recognize, but they don't take it to heart, that very thing, because they devalue their position, their responsibility, their authority, they oftentimes let that become their outlook. They oftentimes allow that to be their MO. They begin to use that devalued stage, that devalued state, to set the tone for the rest of their shift every day. Well, I don't really mean nothing. I'm really not important here, so I don't care less. I could care less. I'm not going to worry about things. I'm just going to come in and do as little as I can and go home. That attitude allows you to have a lackadaisical attitude. It allows you to be, instead of on guard, it allows you to be off guard. It allows you to let your guard down. It allows you to have a nonchalant attitude. It allows you to be unprepared for the true emergencies because of your attitude, because of not feeling like it's an important position, not feeling like it's an important job, not feeling like you have a lot of authority, a lot of responsibility. We just don't get ourselves in a state of mind to be ready to deal with the numerous emergencies and situations and incidents that you have to deal with on a regular basis, regardless of your location, regardless of your position, regardless of your post. How many times have you been sitting on post and everything's just all copacetic, quiet, nothing going on, and all of a sudden, all heck breaks loose? You're at an apartment complex. All of a sudden, somebody's shooting at somebody. You're at a factory, and all of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off, and there's a fire. You're on patrol in an apartment complex. All of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody's shooting at you. Because private security people are not paid well, are not trained well, are not respected well, they themselves begin to believe, oh, well, I'm nobody. This is nothing more than a low-paying job that's useless. I'm not even sure why I'm here, except I need the paycheck. They begin to feel bad about it, and they let that become the tone for everything else during the course of their duty, their shift, their week, and their career, whether short or long, in the private security industry. They allow the devalued state to run the rest of their decisions, of their reactions. They allow it to steer them in the wrong direction that eventually leads many times to injuries and even deaths, all because they didn't think they mattered. They didn't think that they had an important job. Well, I'm not going to take no training today. I'm not going to do no training here because I'm not going to be here long. It don't matter. Nothing's ever going to happen anyways. I don't care. I'm just a guard. And because of that attitude, because of that mindset, that's error one, the first deadly error, because that is the beginning of a spiraling downhill all the way. Because of that mindset, because of that attitude, everything else is downhill. The number one deadly error that we have found year after year, injury after injury, death after death. They were unprepared. They were untrained because they were devalued. Didn't care. Didn't think they were important. I don't want you to think that you're Batman or Superman, that you're made out of steel, that you can stop bullets in the midair. I don't want you to think that you're high and mighty, but I don't want you to ever underestimate or undervalue your responsibility, your duties, your job, the value of your position. Because your position as a private security officer on any site is the most important position there is there that day. Without you, who would respond to the medical emergency? Who would respond to the fire alarm?
Who would respond when somebody's shoplifting? Who would respond when somebody's fighting? Who would check out the suspicious person who's carrying a gun? Who? Nobody. By the time 911's called, the police are dispatched, all that's over with. The clerks are gone. The shoplifters beat feet. The fire alarm turns into an active fire. Property loss and damage has already occurred. The person having a heart attack, the 911 call, is too late. By the time ambulance crews get there, paramedics. So don't ever think that your position, your job, is not needed or not valued. We're working hard and diligently every year, every month, every day, every week to make private security officers more valued through training, through recognition, awards, and eventually through salaries and payment increases. We're already seeing changes in some areas, some states. I talk to people all the time, different areas of the country. Wages are increasing. As I mentioned in one of my radio shows a few months ago, security managers, security directors with the proper training and education can easily make 50 to 100K, easily. So if you're in a dead-end job, an hourly $8, $9, $10 an hour job, you can get out of it with experience and education and training. But don't ever think that your position doesn't matter, because it does. Have a positive attitude and know that it's important, because that's going to steer you in the right direction to do these other things that we're about to talk to you about. But you have to have the right mindset. That's number one. Without it, it's the first deadly error, because everything else downhill. You are important. You are needed. If you wasn't needed, you wouldn't be there. They wouldn't have hired you. They wouldn't have spent the money to get you there. The second most deadly error that security officers make is they forget where they are. Hey, where am I? They forget that they're on the job. They forget. They forget to think about the dangers that could occur right there where they're at. Well, I'm supposed to make my guard rounds, and I'm in the hood, and it's pretty bad out here, and let me look outside. Yeah, they told me don't go out in the parking lot. I don't have to make any exterior rounds. But it sure has been kind of hot in here tonight, and I think I'll just go out and smoke me a cigarette, lean up against the truck here, light up one or two. Yeah, look at them pretty stars out here tonight. Got the moon shining over there. Oh, yeah, it's nice out here. Much cooler out here than it was inside. All of a sudden, out of the corner of your eye, you see somebody approaching, walking fast toward you down the parking lot. Hey, you wonder, is this friend or foe? Is this good or bad? Is he looking for information? Is he lost? Maybe he just wants the time of day. Or maybe he's about to pounce on you and rob you, beat you, maybe even kill you. We forget where we are. We forget our surroundings, what they are. We forget quickly what we're supposed to be doing and not doing. It's like watching Wild Kingdom. I remember as a child, that was one of my dad's favorite shows. And every Sunday, Wild Kingdom would come on. No matter where they were, it was always the same story. Bambi would be out playing the gazelle, out having a good afternoon in the sun, relaxing with his pals and family, eating a little grass, kicking up their heels, their hoofs, chilling out. Everything's going oh so well. Beautiful day. Having a great time with my friends. Oh, they quickly forgot where they were. They quickly let their guard down. They quickly forgot the dangers of their surroundings. Oh, they've seen the lions come out and grab up their friends before. They'd heard the stories. They'd witnessed it for themselves, how out of the blue, there goes another buddy of mine. Guess he's going to be dinner tonight. And every show, it was the same thing. Animals going out to play, going out to feed, not looking around, not being on their guard, not letting, you know, that inner voice tell them, uh-oh, I better watch out. Something could happen here. And that's how we are. How many times have you heard someone say after they've been robbed, you know what? I just had a funny feeling about that place. I just had a funny feeling about that person. When I got in the elevator and I saw him standing in the corner and I looked into his eyes and he looked into mine, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I knew then I should not have gotten into the elevator with him. I knew then it was not a good decision. But they did it anyways. They did it anyways. And before they could get two floors up, what happens? Robbery. Maybe a rape. I've interviewed dozens, maybe hundreds, of victims of crimes. Why did you go there? Why didn't you turn around when you saw them? Why did you cross the street when you knew there was a gang over there? Well, I didn't really think it was going to happen. I didn't really think it was going to happen to me. They didn't look that mean. Oh, I saw those people crossing over and coming my way, but I just thought they were out for an evening stroll. We know better, but we easily and quickly forget where we are. You're a security officer. You're supposed to stay inside the building with the doors locked at all times on this particular post because you're in a bad neighborhood. The client told you, don't go outside. Don't make any patrols outside. Don't walk around outside. Don't sit around outside. Don't loiter outside. Don't go to your car after dark because it's dangerous. We don't have a secure gate fence. The parking lot's wide open. We prefer that you stay inside the building. Don't open doors at 2 in the morning to strangers that come knocking. Oh, he looked okay. I think he was just lost, and he was looking for directions, so I opened the door. Next thing I know, three of his other friends come jumping through the door with guns drawn, and they tied me up, and they robbed the place. Huh. Imagine that. We quickly forget where we are. When you're on duty at a department store, when you're on duty at a grocery store, when you're on duty at a shopping mall, when you've been hired to protect a place that's been robbed a number of times, you understand there's going to be a risk. You understand there's going to be a good chance, a good possibility that, hey, this place could get robbed again. That's why they hired me. I got to be on my toes. I got to be on my best behavior. I got to be on heightened alert. I've got to be checking people out, watching their body language, watching their hands. I can't be goofing around. I can't be dilly-dallying around. I can't be on my cell phone. I can't be texting my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my girlfriend's boyfriend, my boyfriend's girlfriend. I can't be doing all that nonsense because that takes away from my focus. That takes away from the reason why I'm here. That lowers my sense of heightened alert. I can't be over there in the corner chatting with some good-looking cashier at the store when I know that this place was just robbed this week or twice in the last month. Yeah, they're not going to rob it no more because I'm here. Yeah, you're dreaming. Too many times, security officers are injured or killed in the line of duty because they let their guard down because they forget where they're at. A security officer last year was shot. He survived. But he was working in an apartment complex that he knew had a lot of gangs, a lot of drugs, and a lot of guns. Sometime in the overnight hours, he approached a person who was acting suspicious alone. He didn't call the police. He didn't get on the two-way radio and call one of his other officers over. He did it alone, knowing where he was. Well, evidently, he didn't know where he was. He forgot where he was because he approached the suspect. He got into a confrontation. I don't know the exact words that were exchanged, but I know that it didn't take long for the suspect to pull a gun and shoot the security officer. Why did he get shot? Why was he injured? Why did he almost lose his life? Because he forgot where he was. If he had remembered that he was in a high drug area, a high crime area, a high gang activity complex, he would have called 911, waited for the cavalry to respond, waited for backup units to get there, then approach, then question, then take the suspect down. Sometimes we just forget where we're at. We just don't think. Yeah, I had a bad feeling about that one. I really did. I had a bad feeling about that one. Then why'd you go up to him? I don't know. Guess I'm stupid. Yeah, I thought something bad was going to happen. I really did. Why'd you go there? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? If you really felt that way, that the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up, you got to remember where you're at. Sometimes you can't charge in to a situation. You've got to first notify backup. Wait for them to arrive. Wait for the cavalry to get there. Then you can take care of business. Then, remember where you're at. Don't let your guard down at any time. Because if you do, it could lead to your demise. It could lead to serious injury. It could even lead to your death. We've got to remember, folks, we've got to remember when we're on duty, when we're on the job, it doesn't matter if it's a distribution warehouse, it doesn't matter if you're out patrolling this beautiful park here at the lake, Lakeside Memorial Park, it doesn't matter if you're on patrol at the mall, you're an LP agent for a department store, it doesn't matter where you're at, it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. Well, things get slow about this time. Yeah, I everything kind of quiets down about this time. No, that's when things are going to happen, when you least expect it, when it's the off hour, when it's not prime time, when it's that hour, that time, that day that you think, nothing's going to happen now. Everything always happens Friday and Saturday night. It's Monday night. That's when it's going to happen, friend. That's when it's going to happen. You've got to have your guard up day and night. Remember, when you're on duty, no matter what the post, no matter what the location, no matter what city, what town, what state, it doesn't matter what country you're in. Remember, you're there to do a job. You're there for a purpose. And there's dangers lurking everywhere. That doesn't mean you have to be freaked out. Doesn't mean you got to be jumping up and down with your hand on your gun 24/7. No, I don't mean that at all. But you do have to be aware of your circumstances. You got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to be aware of who people are and the things that have happened there previously and the things that could happen today. And you've got to be ready, prepared. Remember, the first deadly error is that you devalue yourself, your position, your authority, your responsibilities, your job, and that steers you in the wrong direction. And number two, you forget easily sometimes where you're at. I'm just going to kick back and have me a 5-minute snooze. I've had a long day, and I'm working two jobs, and I'm tired, and I think I'll just, nothing happening. I'm just here in the factory. Oh, man, I really. Maybe I'll sleep 10 minutes. What the heck? Maybe I'll just sleep the rest of the night. What is that fireworks? Shots fired. Oh, no. Don't forget where you're at. Don't forget where you're at. Remember where you are. Because if you don't, and you let your guard down, you get lackadaisical. You're not alert. You're not conscious of your surroundings. You're not prepared for anything that might happen. It's probably going to lead to your demise. It might not be today, might not be tomorrow, might not even be this year. But if you're in the job long enough, your inattentiveness, your failure to be alert, to be conscious of your surroundings, to be on high alert, will lead to injuries and deaths. Not to put anyone down, not to criticize, not to say I would have done it better, but I've seen too many security people, too many officers, armed and unarmed, acting like they're out of the social, flirting, talking with this one and that one, not paying attention, sleeping on the job, sleeping in their car, even having sex in their car or at the office or at the guard shack, forgetting about what could happen, who might walk in and what they might do. want to leave you tonight with this question. Have I ever devalued myself? Have I ever thought maybe I wasn't important, this job wasn't important, my position wasn't all that? If you have, and I'm sure that we all have at one time or the other, no matter what the job is, no matter what the position is, I want you to correct that situation tonight and understand that you have a very important job. Sometimes the salary doesn't equate or doesn't equal to the responsibilities, and unfortunately, this is one of those positions. But you have a very important, important job. Join me on Sunday when we continue with part two. I'll be back in the studio. But I will be out for several live events coming up as we continue the second annual Private Officer Memorial Week. If you're in one of the locations that's having a ceremony, feel free to go over there. We hope to have some video up on the main website soon of several of the ceremonies. If you have held any type of private ceremony, you and your coworker, you and other security officers, just take a picture and email it to us at admin@privateofficer.com. We'll be glad to post it. Like I said, a ceremony doesn't have to be long and drawn out, doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to have 50 people or 5,000 people or 500. It could be just five. It could be just three. It could be two. You might just remember the officers killed in the line of duty. Well, that's going to conclude another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio. It's good to be back on the air after several weeks of being off the air. We were working hard on the chapters, and we still are. If you'd like more information about the chapters, send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we'll get that out to you. If you'd like to be involved in all of the activity happening at the organization, just send us an email. And remember, right now, you can become a member if you're not for just $49.95 for 2 years. That's a 35% savings. Go to privateofficer.com. And click on the Security Association page and join today. Well, that's going to be all for tonight. Thank you for joining us. It's a beautiful night here in the foothills of the North Carolina mountains here at the Lakeside Park. We've really enjoyed ourselves as the crickets continue to sing their songs. And we're going to head off into the wild blue yonder. Good night. God bless, be safe out there, and we'll see you out back here on the radio on Sunday night, 7:30 Eastern Time.